But I want to continue this powerful series titled The Savior. We've been talking about this all through the month of April. And April was the special month we celebrated Easter, which was the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that changed the whole world. I mean, in fact, even when they give dates based on, you know, the birth of Christ and the death of Christ, AD, after the death. So basically, that singular event changed the whole world. And, you know, the Savior was sent into the world at that time to save the whole world. All right? And the Bible makes it clear that he's our Savior and he saves completely. He saves to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26 said he saves completely. He saves to the uttermost all those that come to God through him. Glory to God. Now, today I want to move forward a bit. You see, Jesus is our Savior. You know, he has saved us, he is saving us, and he will yet save us. So what does this mean? He has died for our sins, so now we are reconnected to God. He's saving us from situations we're going to face in now, and he will finally save us from this earth altogether. However, you see, the story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop at us receiving the Savior. The story doesn't stop at us having a relationship with the Savior. That is just the beginning. That's just one side. Another whole dimension to this thing is that this Savior came to give birth to other Saviors. This Savior came to commission other Saviors. And that's where we've been missing it a lot of times, because we just thought we came to enjoy the ministry of the Savior, and that's where it ends. And that's why I see a lot of Christians living below the standard. So you will see a very regular church member, but he thinks the whole reason he's here is to receive alms from God, to receive handouts from God. So his whole life is built around what he can get from God. You know, he's always asking God for something, begging God for something, and that's what his relationship with God is built around. But he never sees himself as a solution to the world. He never sees himself as a savior to the world. Guess what? Jesus came to save us so that we can save the world. He came to save us so that he can recruit us into that ministry of saving the world. Guess what? You too, you are a savior. Every child of God is a savior. I want to read, you know, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. Let me read it to you. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 21. Something very interesting there. Jesus came to save and to bring saviors. The Bible says, then saviors shall come to Mount Zion. One version says, saviors shall come out of Zion and said to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. It says, saviors shall come out of Zion. So Jesus didn't just come to save us. He came to also raise saviors. He came to raise saviors. He said, savior out of Zion shall arise saviors. Saviors will come out of Zion. Guess what, guys? Me and you are meant to preserve this world from decadence, meant to preserve this world from destruction, meant to preserve this world from drowning. That's why we are called the salt of the earth. One of the principal things salt does is to preserve. Salt preserves. And that's why we are called the salt of the earth, guys. So Jesus is not just the savior of the world. He came to also raise saviors out of Zion. Hallelujah. You are a savior. I need you to stop seeing yourself as just a recipient and start seeing yourself as the one giving. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to be the one giving than the one receiving. You are a savior. You are not the one meant to receive money as the poor. You are meant to take care of the poor. You are not the one meant to be sick and be looking for healing. The Bible says you are meant to pray for the sick. Hallelujah. That's why I knew COVID-19 virus can never come near me. It can never affect me. If anybody with it comes in contact with me, they will get healed. That's what's going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick. If you are laying hands on the sick, then you can't be the sick. The sick can't lay hands on the sick. If the Bible says you will cast out devils, then you can't have devils. That's what the Bible is saying. So you need to understand, guys, many Christians, you know, when they lack this foresight and when they lack this vision, it affects how they behave. They see their own lives as just, you know, a joke. They see their lives as just a small part of the game. that I'm just here for God to do something for me. If they could grow to the point where they understand that they are actually saviors, that there's a vision and a mission also that they are called to carry out, it will change your whole perspective. You know, the Bible says, without vision, my people perish. It means when people don't have a big picture of what their lives are for, he said they enter an inferior condition. So it pays when I see Christians live anyhow. It pays my heart when I see Christians, you know, think I can marry anybody. You know, I hear Christians say, you know, can I marry a guy that doesn't know God? Can I marry a guy from any religion? Can I marry, you know, somebody that's a drunkard? Or, you know, it just shows that you think your life is not so meaningful. The moment you understand that your own life is important in the grand scheme of things, then you understand you can't live anyhow. It makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference. You too are a savior. Jesus is our savior, but he didn't just come only to save us. He came to recruit us into saving others. Hallelujah. You are a savior. You are a savior. You see what the Bible says? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it said, as he is, so are we in this world. Can you imagine that? He said, as he is, so are we in this world. And what is he? He's a savior. They said, in this world, that means we too are saviors. We are saviors. As he is, so are we in this world. We are the saviors here. We are the ones on ground. He said, greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. He said, you will do these things I'm doing and even greater works. See, these works that I do, you will do, and even what? Greater works. So the question is this, guys. How are you going about your own portion of this ministry of saving the world? Because that's what we're called to. That's why he didn't take us to heaven immediately we got saved. That's why he left us here, so that we too can be a part of saving this world. So every child of God is a savior. The question is, what area are you going to come into saving the world? Because there's something you can contribute. There's something you can do. Trust me, there's something only you can do well. There's something you have been created and designed and positioned to do in the mission of saving the world. Every child of God has a ministry of saving the world, you know. So what am I supposed to do? It's very simple. You need to find the areas God wants you to contribute. There's something he designed you for. That's why he left you behind here after you got saved. There's something you can do well. It can be from very popular things to very unpopular things. It can be from very, you know, public things to very private things. But the point is that you need to find what your own role is in the world. Do you know, as this whole COVID-19 is going on, there should be people in church that can download the ideas. There should be people in church that can download the vaccines or download the solution to the whole virus, or even download the ideas that we can do social distancing without locking down. You know, there are people like that, but I don't know where they are. I don't know if they are catching these ideas. Some of you have that creativity. Some of you can run the system. You have what it takes. You can organize. You can design. You can come up with solutions. Some of you can help people get food in this period. You can do a lot of things. Start seeing yourself as part of the solution, not part of the problem. You are part of the solution. You are not part of those they are helping. You are part of those that are helping. I'll say that again. You are not part of those that people are helping. You are part of those doing the helping. The moment you change how you think, God begins to drop ideas and opportunities that you can fit into. So how can you help? How were you designed to help at this time? How were you designed to help the whole world? There's something you can bring in that will make the world a better place. And that's how God works with people. You know, for somebody like me, for instance, one of the things God showed me was that, hey, you're going to help people in terms of marriages and families. He said, through you, the families of the earth shall be blessed. Simple. So if you notice, if you follow me or work with me, you know that I have, you know, a flair for talking about marriages and relationships. And on that way, you know, is that, you know, you have an interest or a passion in that thing. Then you also see grace in that thing. So whenever I talk about relationship videos, sometimes, you know, those videos are just simple videos. They're even basic things I've preached years ago, and they just go viral all the time. So I'm also, you know, surprised. I'm also watching to see that this thing, there's so much grace on it. That's part of how you know. What are the things you do so easily? What are the things you are so interested in doing? What are the things that every time you do it, you see or sense God's hand upon it? You just do it in a unique way. You just do it in a powerful way. You just see a special grace in it. Daniel was a savior in his time. Joseph was a savior in his time. Samson was a savior in his time. Even Abraham was a savior in his time. You are also a savior. So the question is, where, which area are you going to help? There are things you can help us to do. There are things you can help us. Maybe your creativity, maybe social media, maybe financially, maybe entrepreneurship, business, maybe health-wise, fitness, you know, food, you know, nutrition. There are millions and millions of things, but you need to understand there's something you can save this world from. There's an aspect, you know, you can save this world from. You are a savior like your master Jesus. You are a savior like your elder brother Jesus. There's something you can save this world from. So find it. Find it. For some of you, it might not be glamorous, you see. The problem with many people is that they feel that for me to be a savior, it has to be glamorous. So maybe I need to be the senior pastor. Maybe I need to be on the stage. Maybe I need to start my own ministry. Maybe I need... It doesn't follow. Some people are going to be behind the scenes. But what they are doing is not less important than what other people are doing. So that's the first thing. It might not be glamorous. Another thing is that what you are doing doesn't reduce where other people are called to save. So I'll deal with these two things as I move. Number one, so I said the first thing is that one of the areas you're called to be savior might not be glamorous. So the mistake many people make is that they always assume, you know, it has to be glamorous. If I'm not on the stage, if I'm not at the forefront, if I'm not the leader, you know, I can't be a part of it. No, a lot of people, the areas they're going to contribute, the areas they're going to add is by supporting somebody else that's in the forefront. That means you might be behind the scenes. You might be behind the scenes, but it's not less important. So this is a challenge with most human beings. They always think I have to be popular, I have to be in front. To be honest with you, most popular people now, not all, but most popular people were not really thinking about being popular. They were just thinking about contributing their quota. You know, I may be popular these days, but, you know, I never dreamt of it. In fact, it was a big shock to me because, you know, I didn't expect that people would recognize me everywhere and you can't easily just do anything you like anywhere. You know, I didn't know that. You know, I was just trying to get the word out there. But by being effective at what I do, the consequence was that I now became popular. But popularity was never the aim. So don't build your life around that, saying I must be on stage, I must be popular, they must know my name. No. I've seen some young people do that. You know, they want to insist on their names being mentioned. They want to insist on recognition. Relax. The important thing is that there are things you are called to contribute to this world. You are a savior in your own right. You need to find that place. You might be supporting somebody else that is popular. You might be supporting somebody else that is on the stage. You might be behind the scenes, but be faithful at what you are doing. Be faithful at what you're doing. That's the key. The Bible talked about Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. They said he taught it not robbery, though he was equal with God, to now come to be a man. Do you understand that? He's God. But he said he was able to put down his reputation, come and be a man, and be a nobody, you know, and live a normal life. That was humility. But the Bible said he was able to, he had that mindset. And he said, let this mind be in you. You too have that kind of mindset of humility. Have that kind of mindset where you can do what you're called to do even without being publicly recognized or known or noticed. It's not about that. All right? If you're noticed, yes, that's great. But don't strive to be noticed. Instead, strive to impact people. Everybody can impact people. So that's what Jesus did. And listen, this is what they said. They said, after he had done that, they now gave him a name above every other name. He now rose and entered glory. You see, your humility is what precedes the glory. If you can be humble enough to serve and contribute somewhere along the line, you will get the honor and the recognition somewhere along the line. But don't focus on that. And that's what Jesus did, okay? So that's the first thing I need you to understand about the area you're called to serve. It might not be popular. It might not be known. Nobody might clap for you. But the important thing is that as long as you are helping people, you are drawing people out of whatever, you know, is trying to destroy their lives into an abundant life, then connecting them to the source of that abundant life, which is Jesus Christ. Every Christian is meant to be a bridge to connect people from the world to Christ. Every Christian. So you must know what areas there's that grace of God upon your life, where there's just that unction. You can't explain it, but every time you do this particular thing, every time you cook, people give great comments. Every time you speak, every time you sing, you know, you will see an area where there's an unction on you. You will see areas where you have passion. You will see areas where you have interest. You will see areas where you have unusual insight. Every time you look at things, you can see design. You can see aesthetics. You can see colors. You know, it's there. There's no reason why anybody should live on this earth without walking the path of their purpose, because it's so clear, it's so obvious, it's there. You see unction. You see, a guy like Peter clearly had an unction for fishing. clearly. So if you notice, everything around his life was around fishing. He met Jesus through fishing. He met Jesus through fishing. Secondly, he got his breakthrough through fishing. He captured a lot of fish and his boat began to sink. Thirdly, when Jesus was going to recruit him, Jesus had to use fishing. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Peter could relate. Fourthly, when they wanted to pay tax and they didn't have money, guess how Jesus blessed Peter? He said, go and catch fish. Listen, your prosperity is going to be tied to that area. If you find it, that's where your money is going to come from. Especially now that COVID-19 will soon end, people will get back to the streets. Find that path. Your prosperity is there. That, you see, when you are in that place, there is no hustle. There is no, it can't be crowded because you have something unique. The reason why we have so many areas or industries that are crowded is that many people are going there because they think it is easy to make it there. They're going there for the wrong reasons. If every human being can stay on their lane, where they are gifted and where they are good at, we will never have congestion. If everybody can find where they are good at. I even hope this whole COVID-19 thing will help us deal with traffic. I think a lot of people have seen that they can even still do what a lot of things they do without being in traffic every day. Maybe we can even start that people go to work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and work from home Tuesday and Thursday and share like different offices. We've all seen that anything is possible. Anything is possible. If the whole world, not just Nigeria, not just Lagos, not just New York, the whole world can be shut down for almost 2 months, trust me, we've all just been congesting at the wrong place, at the wrong time, doing the wrong things. We can make this whole world work a whole lot easier than it is working. And I pray that saviors will arise in government, saviors will arise in policy making, saviors will arise in different areas now to give us solutions. That's what this is about. What solution can you bring? What area can you help our life? What area can you help our life? The second thing I was going to talk about saviors is that some mistakes people make is that because they are so passionate about their own area, they want to despise other people's area. Listen, just because you have a different area you're called to do your own, practice your own savior, doesn't mean the other people's own is not important. Let me explain what I mean. I've seen people that said, this whole COVID-19 issue, we should all pray to get the cure. I don't think all of us will get the cure. There are people that are most likely going to be the type of people that get the cure. Yeah, it might even be an obscure person. It might be everybody. It's not going to be everybody. Some other people, what they're going to contribute is prayer. That's all they're going to contribute. Because the person saying, it's not just prayer. No, no, no. Some people, that's all. You see, you don't have to despise prayer because you want to talk about science. No. Prayer can help the guy that is going to do the research make progress. But we don't have to do the same thing. And the guy praying doesn't have to say, we don't need research. Let's just pray. No. And that's the mistake people make. Because they are passionate and gifted in one area, they want to suddenly look down at or despise other people's area. No, we all work together as a team. I can't repair your car. I can't repair your light in your house. I can repair your marriage, but I can't repair your TV. But I'm not going to say you don't need TV. No. You see, my own doesn't disturb the other person's own. Let me give you a perfect example of this. People are saying, let's not pray, let's go and find a solution. I'm not interested in a solution. I'm not even interested. That's not my calling at all. I will pray, that's what I will do, and I will release my faith, and I'll teach people to release their faith, because that's my calling. The person that is going to find that cure, he better do it quickly. He better get to it. We are all waiting for him to get to it. The people that will bring policies in government, that will bring ideas, they will do it. That's not my calling. Now, it might be you, your calling, you that are watching me, it might be you, God wants to do it. So you go ahead and do it. But I can pray. For you to be sensitive, for you to catch it. As I'm praying, those things will happen. Let me give you a scriptural example of this. So Jesus was going to come. The Bible says John the Baptist's own job was to be a forerunner of Jesus. That was his own contribution. Do you understand? He's to be a forerunner. Of course, Mary's contribution was to give birth to Jesus. Joseph's contribution was to stand as Jesus' father so that Mary wouldn't look like she's giving birth to an illegitimate child. Joseph didn't do anything concerning Jesus' birth per se. You know, he wanted to even leave Jesus. And the Bible says, an angel told him, look, go and stay there. Your role is to stand there like his father. Even though me and you know, you are not his father. Joseph was going to run. Joseph, the father, husband of Mary, was going to run away. He was going to divorce her. Run away. They said, no, stay. It's a role. Because she can't give birth to a bastard child, so stay. Mary's job was that you won't sleep with a man, but you give birth to this baby. John the Baptist, your own job is that you'll be a foreigner. Do you see? Nobody's own is disturbing another person's own. They're all important. He said, you're a foreigner. Go ahead and be saying, there's somebody coming. The moment Jesus came, John the Baptist's relevance was almost done away with. He has almost finished his job. That's why he entered other things. They didn't call him to, and they killed him. He has finished. Even his own disciples are following Jesus. They like his Jesus model of ministry. Just going to the bush, wilderness, and be eating wild honey and locusts, and not wearing clothes, and abusing people. They said, we have seen a new dimension. We have seen new ministry. They follow Jesus. So he has finished his own life. Who else? Now, let me get to more specific. When you look at when Jesus was born again, something has happened. The Bible said there were not three wise men. There were wise men. There were more than three. Oh, we don't know how many there were. But there were wise men that their own job was to see the star. That was their contribution. You see, they saw the stars and they followed the star. And they went to just announce that, hey, there's a star here. There's a king going to be born. Now, while all that was going on, the Bible said there was a prophetess, a woman that was locked in the temple praying. That was all she was doing. She didn't come out to see the star. She didn't help Jesus run away. She didn't give back. She didn't help the delivery of Mary in the barn, manger. She didn't contribute. Her own contribution was prayer. That's just it. Now, but none of them are less important. You know, so if it was today, you know, many of those people will feel, oh, I'm more important. The guys that saw the star will say, no, we are the most important. We are the one that saw the star. Joseph will say, I'm the most important. If I didn't stay, there would have been a problem. Mary would have said, I'm the most important. If I didn't bring my womb, you know, there would have been a problem. Everybody would have, but you see, all of them are important. When it comes to purpose, we really don't disturb any other person because everything is important. Like your car. Your car has so many parts. They all don't disturb each other. You know, when I ask people, if a car breaks down, what's the reason? There could be a thousand reasons why a car breaks down because all those many parts are all important. So that woman, her only contribution, she was in the temple just praying about that Savior, praying that everything goes smoothly, praying, you know, maybe it was a prayer that made them not able to kill Jesus when he was born because they were killing all the people in his time. You know, different things. Everybody played their role. The point is this. Don't say because I'm passionate about science, we must solve this thing scientifically. Don't now go on air on social media and start saying, you don't need prayer. No. Sometimes it's those prayers that helps the creativity to flow through different channels. Sometimes it's those prayers that helps that creativity not to be truncated somewhere along the line. So don't despise the guy praying. Don't say, oh, we don't need prayer. That guy praying, that is his own calling. That is his own area of expertise. That's where he is contributing in supplying prayer. It's equally important. If you see every time God is doing something, there are people like that they seem on the sidelines, but they are equally important to the grand scheme of things. So appreciate other people's area. Everybody is a savior in one way or the other. Everybody is a savior. You see, the day you are seriously sick, then you will enjoy the saving ministry of a medical doctor. But you see, the day you have serious marital crisis, you enjoy the ministry, saving ministry of a marriage counselor. The day you need, financial issues, you will enjoy. So the point is that everybody is important at different times. So let's appreciate other people's areas. Let's not say, oh, this is the most important one, that one is the most important. As a pastor, you know, people appreciate the preaching, but a lot goes in. There are people on the camera. You're watching this on the camera now. There are people videoing this. You will not see them, but they can. Okay, I want to say they will see you. They will not see you. But the point is that, you know, there are people there. There are people that will edit this thing. You won't see it. They are going to edit and cut many funny things I've said or many things that didn't work. You won't see them. You know, there are people that will upload it on social media or YouTube or whatever. You won't see those guys. But they are all important. I'm the one you're going to see, but I'm not the only person bringing you this word. I'm not the only person bringing you this word. There are people that brought my clothes. There are people that dabbed my face. You won't see those guys. You know, I would have been looking sweaty and all that, you know. Different things like that. The point is that everybody is important. Just find where you are called to contribute and stay faithful there. You are a savior and the world needs you. And during this lockdown and even after the lockdown, go out there. Find where you are meant to contribute and save the world. All right. God bless you. I'm going to pray with you in a bit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone watching. I pray that you will show us the area we're meant to help in saving this world. You show us our own portion that we're meant to contribute. Lord, give us the passion, the insight, the wisdom, the creativity, the heart to research, to train, to develop, so that we can contribute what we have been created to contribute in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Our passions will direct us. We'll know by our passion, our gifting, areas you have assigned us to. And by your grace, will fulfill the assignment that you are giving us, just like the way Jesus fulfilled his own. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. See you next week, hopefully physically.